advise you to get off the streets as quickly as possible. It'll soon be a war up there.
And we are, as a people, opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths.
I know for a fact.
And to secret proceedings.
Weapons of mass destruction.
I have a dream.
I take the threat very seriously.
A new world order.
Your government thanks you for your participation.
You are now listening to the world-famous Sofa King Podcast.
Please, read from sheets. I am Sofa King.
Sofa King.
Now repeat all very fast, please.
I am Sofa King.
Faster.
I am Sofa King.
No, not so fast. Loses meaning.
I am Sofa King. Todd.
You say funny things.
And that bottle is large and in charge.
Yeah, it is.
What is this?
Dave and I keep fucking saying shit at the same time. 1.75 liter.
Oh,
it's the fucking party. It's the handle.
Yeah,
they gotta do curls to fucking with pour this shit.
Yeah,
damn, handle with no handle.
You gotta have grip strength.
Yeah,
yeah.
It is seriously heavy as fuck.
No, it's heavy as shit. Because the thing is, anytime you see a handle, it's plastic.
Yeah.
That shit's glass.
Nah, crown handles are glass. Yeah. But it looked normal in your hand. And when he handed it to me, I was like, wait a minute. This thing's twice the size.
You know what the difference is? Look, see how that one is? It has the grip.
The engine.
This doesn't have it. No. So you got to fucking palm it like a basketball.
It's because it's Irish whiskey. It's Irish. You got to be a Don't fucking be a man.
Or you grip the neck and the leverage there is weird.
You better have a man hand there, short fingers.
Yeah.
I have big hands.
Yeah, fucking.
Yeah.
Says big the hands.
To the point, fingers. I keep them out of dick pics.
Big
it's
hands.
It's not going to be flattering with these hands.
You have large palms.
Yeah, it's like Wreck-It Ralph.
Yeah, it's very weird.
Yeah, it doesn't matter if it's like a foot long all beef or hot dog. If you're Wreck-It Ralph hands, it's not going to look good. You got to keep it out of there.
So I misspoke a couple of episodes ago.
What'd you say?
Because I don't know my dates. And I said on the episode that we dropped last week, that last Friday was my birthday, which would have been June 1st, which is not my birthday. My birthday is June 8th, which is coming up.
I was so glad. I'm so glad you brought this up.
So you have two birthdays then?
No.
That's what you're saying.
So I messaged Dave to ask him, I said, oh, hey, is it your birthday today?
Right.
But your response was, no, it's Prince.
No, my response was, it's D-Day plus two.
Yeah.
Or Prince plus one.
And then I was like, I can't believe you forgot your own fucking birthday. And then secondly, that you reference other people's birthdays in reference to your birthday. And that's how you calculate it. Because I said, it must be some Freudian self-worth thing where like you see them better than you and somehow you value their birthday. But he brought it up. And then I realized, I was like, oh, my shit's Bob Marley.
So here's the thing. So I realized early on that there's a pattern that goes from cool to not so fucking cool. And you have to find out where you fall on this spectrum, and it's each day. So within my spectrum, June 6th is D-Day.
Right.
Cool as fuck. Shit doesn't get cooler than D-Day.
I guess.
Shit doesn't get cooler than D-Day. Sorry.
I don't say cool.
It's fucking cool. It's cool as fuck.
We call Friday nights when mom takes the kids D-Day at D-Day. My house. Yeah.
So June 7th is Prince's birthday. Cool as fuck, way fucking cooler than I am. June 8th, my birthday, Johnny Depp's birthday. I'm fine with that ranking.
Right.
I can, if someone says, hey, you're as cool as Johnny Depp, I'd be like, that's cool, thanks. June 9th is my homeboy Creighton's birthday. Creighton's a cool cat, not quite as cool as me.
Right.
That's all I'm saying, by a day, apparently. Right. And it's also Michael J. Fox's birthday. Again, I think it fits nicely in the spectrum.
That's a shaky comparison, though.
It is. So June.
And Creighton's got some secrets.
Yeah. June 10th is Robert Englund's birthday.
Who's that?
Freddy Krueger.
Oh, okay.
I think he as a person is less cool than Michael J. Fox.
Weird. Freddy Krueger came up again.
And then June 11th is Mark Wahlberg's birthday. Not nearly as cool. And that's the end of the cycle. I believe the cycle might keep getting worse or it might reset itself. I don't know when the cycle resets itself.
But who was on your birthday?
The issue with this is he's not reading anything right now.
He's not what?
Reading anything.
No, I know my cycle.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So I wanted to start a thing where we all classify our birthdays by like whose proximity was.
Right.
But you don't like Johnny Depp to be like Johnny Depp plus zero.
Yes.
Brad's so excited. I'm just Bob Marley plus or minus zero.
You're also Ronald Reagan, aren't you?
Yeah, Ronald Reagan and Bob Marley.
I think that's legit.
Dude, you'll be happy about this.
What's up?
Adolf Hitler and Eva committed suicide on my birthday.
Nice.
Oh, wow.
See, now you've got, you're starting to get an idea of the landscape around your birthday.
The Fuhrer bunker.
Yeah, that's a fucking cool ass date.
I just think we should figure it out. And then that way, if anyone, and this is to the Skolt, so that this is a new bylaw. If anyone ever asks you your birthday, you never tell them your birthday. You just tell them referencing it by someone else's birthday plus or minus.
That's got to be within close proximity.
Or if it's the exact date, you just go like Bob Marley. And I have the same birthday as Bob Marley. Exactly. Like, well, I don't know what date that is, asshole. Didn't say plus. Dude, sounds like a personal problem. Yeah.
Dude, my birthday? Church of Satan formed.
Nice. See, dude.
Wow. The stars really did align to make Brad. There's something weird there. Maybe there is something to numerology.
I'm telling you, it works.
I bet I could find evil shit for mine.
I realized that when I was in college, and it gave me a better sense of where I am.
Just like famous things on this date?
Historical
events?
Yeah. I realized I'm happy with where I am in my spectrum. And I'm not saying the spectrum is the set amount of days. It might be a 3-day rotation. It might be a 15-day rotation for when you happen to be born, but it's worth looking. And I'm sorry if you have the fucking same birthday as some buster ass bitch. Like, you need to rethink your life. Like,
dude, I have some Mandela problem with the way you spell February. I fucking, it's the month of my birthday, and I don't feel like that's how you spell it.
On the balcony of Federal Hall on Wall Street, New York City, George Washington takes the oath of office to become the first elected president of the United States.
Damn, you just crushed it.
Yeah.
Spell February.
February.
Yeah, that's weird to me.
It's February.
Yeah, February. It's like February. Worcestershire sauce. No one can say that.
No.
It's February.
No one says that right.
Just take it.
Worcestershire.
Yeah. So anyway, I encourage everyone to rethink their birthday, where you fall on your spectrum. And it could be it could be an important date, but it's also very helpful to find whose birthdays.
Maximilian proclaimed the Holy Roman Empire and was the first to not be crowned by the Pope, February 6th.
I top you because J.J. Thompson announces his discovery of the election or of the electron and the subatomic particle.
Mm-hmm. I don't have a lot of good stuff on here. At least this website sucks.
Hawaii became a territory of the United States on my birthday.
Aaron Burr. Burr. That peanut butter commercial has ruined that.
Albert Einstein completed his doctoral thesis on my birthday.
Oh, damn.
I got Babe Ruth and I didn't know it.
Oh.
Yeah, Babe Ruth's pretty good. Babe Ruth, oh, Ronald Reagan, Bob Marley. Yeah, there's some good ones in there. I'll take it.
Yeah. So anyway, that's the way you should look at it. Do we have a question?
Oh yeah, sorry. Jason Muniak writes us. He only puts avocados in his ass to soak up the vitamins, nutrients, and good for you fats, not because it feels good.
Mm-hmm. It's fair. It does feel good though. You might as well just enjoy it while it's there.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't know.
If you happen to absorb good fats at the same time, then you're not going to complain.
I have a guacamole mold that I freeze for insertion because I'll be honest, I can't take the whole avocado like that. And it's difficult. It mashes in. But if you freeze it into the mold, it's cylindrical. There's not a bulbous head. It's more of just a rounded cylinder, I would describe it as, and I just push it up there. Mm-hmm. Avocado's suppository. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Loves the recipes we've been giving out. So his question is, if we had to make something using human meat, what dish would it be and whose meat would we use?
Stir fry and Richard Simmons. It's probably be tough, but there's a lot of flavor there. I think.
And it's feisty. It's fiery. It's fiery. Yeah, stir fry is perfect for Richard Simmons.
Yeah, that's a pretty good. Yeah. I was trying to think of something.
Some carrots, guys?
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to top that.
Richard Simmons stir fry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
He might make a good fajita too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He might.
Probably tough as fuck though. I don't know.
Well, you can use a tougher meat with a fajita.
Have you guys seen that picture circulating the internet where it's a 74-year-old's quadriceps cross section like cut, and it's just a regular 74, and there's no muscle. It's all fat around it and this tiny little sad bone. And then there's a picture of a 70-year-old triathlete's fucking quadriceps cross section, and it is solid fucking muscle. It looks like a ham from fucking Christmas or something. Nice. And it's like, just keep moving. Like, holy fucking shit.
Right.
Like, if you keep exercising, that shit won't go away.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to make Jennifer Aniston Texas egg rolls.
Texas egg rolls. Yeah. What's a Texas egg roll?
They're like, it's got chicken, corn, black beans.
And Jennifer Aniston.
All right. Mm. Yeah. Well, the Aniston would replace the chicken.
Oh, okay.
Does yours have to be a vegan? I mean, it probably should be.
I can't top Richard Simmons in a stir fry.
I'm going to try.
I'm not going to try.
You're using that as your out to not eat human.
Yeah.
I don't think eating human violates the vegan
thing. It doesn't.
Thing.
It doesn't.
I don't think so.
It doesn't. Who would it be?
Who can it be now? Could it be Prince if they froze some of them?
Oh. Walt Disney's neck.
I would like a barbecue, like a barbecue sauce crock pot.
Barbecue Streisand?
Of Bill Gates' ass.
Bill Gates' rump.
Yeah. Bill Gates' rump in a crock pot. All day, a nice sweet barbecue
sauce. I'm going to add barbecue Streisand short ribs.
I don't care to eat Babs.
No.
But if I had to go for it, I'm going for Bill Gates.
Mm. I think there's other.
Maybe a Jeff Bezos burrito. That might be good as well.
Richard Simonon rolls.
Is the Jeff Bezos burritos like prime rib?
Yeah,
you get it prime
rib. Yeah. Rib. Yeah, I like it.
There's a bunch of these. That's anything I'm having trouble getting. I'm gonna have trouble doing the episode because the gears are just turning in the back of my head. I can't focus on what I need to focus on.
Speaking of gears, Richard Gear Tacos.
Oh man, I don't know. We need to mention El Yucateco because we are obligated and we love them. But there is a social media prize.
Because we're sellouts.
Yeah. I would put that in my Bill Gates barbecue crock pot.
Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah.
In all these human recipes, for the record.
I'd probably put the Caribbean
Tecos involved.
For sure.
Somebody wants some Tocket sauce. It was Daniel
Tocket
J.
Sauce.
Tocket sauce.
Did I say Tocket?
Yes.
Oh, taco sauce, pocket sauce? Fuck it. I don't know. I can't even talk. It. Pocket sauce for sharing on Twitter, and it was Daniel J. Turner, aka Daniel J. Turner 11. I never conformed to that. If I'm like, I want to get my name, and it's all, well, you can be 76.
Nope.
Like Brent Mantel 76. I'm like, fuck that shit. Yeah. Coming up with something else clever.
Yeah.
God damn it, Daniel.
I'm going to put some of that sauce on some Tina Turner tortas.
Tina tortas. Yeah. I think on that you have to twist it like middle name.
Like
it.
Tina Tortellinis.
Tina Tortellini.
Tina Tortellinis.
Tina Turner Tortellini.
Yeah, Tina Tortellinis. Yeah.
Fucking El Yucateco, El Yucateco, El Yucateco. There we did it. Let's just get back to recipes.
God damn. Oh, man.
Oh, I can't think of it.
Oh.
I don't know.
Prince pie.
That works.
Prince meat pie. Mm hmm.
Yeah, I like that.
I can't think. Really, Brad's too good. He's throwing him out there, and I can't think of more. We'll come up with something else.
Skull of the month.
Skull member of the month for June is Michelle Campbell.
Michelle Campbell soup. So you can make it with her, too.
Yeah. You'll like this one, Brent. Her dog sleep eats peanut butter like you do.
Right.
But it's hard to tell if the dog knows he's doing it. The problem is that that he cleans up most of it. But she's left cleaning up whatever's left between her inner thighs once it's finished.
I knew it was going
knew
there.
That was going there. How could it not? Well, at least she didn't have an avocado in her ass.
Yeah. Well, we don't know.
I don't know until tomorrow.
She didn't tell us that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a real problem. Yeah. I always eat the peanut butter directly from the jar. So it definitely wasn't me. I blame the dog.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We do have a whiskey.
Yeah.
We had an ocean of whiskey. Delivered to us.
Yeah, we should just preface that Eric Castillo and Elizabeth Jackman.
Holy shit.
A fucking slew of whiskey. They showed up on Saturday with a bag, and I knew something was up because of the way they
set it on
the
ground. I'm not sure what size that bag must have been. Yeah. Holy shit.
It was a normal
Is this
coat.
Like a ludicrous bag? Like, what's in that bag?
He was walking bag? Like Igor. He walked a little funny just because of the weight.
Well,
and I knew something
bag.
Was up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Then he set the bag down and kept walking like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. And he was like, yes, you want some whiskey? But
there's a guy right around the corner said, walk this way.
Yeah. He fucking pulls out. He sets the bag below the counter where I can't see it. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what is up? He's going to have a surprise. Like, I was half ready for a puppet to come up or something, you know? But he set a bottle of whiskey
that
on the
would
counter.
That would have been better.
He just starts doing ventriloquism.
Hey, Brent.
Hey, Brent. Hey, Brent, I heard you guys like whiskey. Hey, whiskey. This is Mr. Hanky.
What is happening right now?
But, yeah. So he pulls up a bottle, and it was, I'm going to spoil it because I think we were supposed to drink the other one. Because someone had asked if we had tried Kirkland whiskey. I think specifically Kirkland bourbon.
Yes.
Which one of those is. Mm-hmm. They brought it up onto the counter. And then we talked about it a little bit. Oh, yeah, that's the thing they said on questions and answers. And while we're talking, he pulled up another bottle. And then he pulled up another bottle and he's like, oh, and we just got back from Tennessee and they pulled up another bottle. I was like, okay, motherfuckers, like Jesus, too much. Like I feel guilty as fuck right now. It's too much. Is there anything else in that bag? And they're like, well, fifth bottle. They brought us five bottles of whiskey. Three of them are fucking like jugs, dude. Like we're never going to finish this. We're going to have to like fill our to-go flasks
or
something.
Never say never, my friend.
We should just get decanters and fill them up.
Wait a minute.
That's what we do. Yeah.
We have SK decanters.
Mm-hmm. I feel like it gave some of those away as prizes at the last thing. We have one SK decanter, but instead of fighting over it, I'll order two more.
And I just want to clarify, as Brent was telling us this story upstairs before we recorded, his sentiment, as he just expressed now, was that there was like it was an overwhelming amount of whiskey, and he felt guilty and thought that Eric and Elizabeth should not have given us that much whiskey out of their hard-earned cash. I, however, think they should have given us even more whiskey, as should all of you listening.
We have a backlog of whiskey right now. Yeah,
there's a queue. That's a good problem.
Yeah, Brad made a weird little line queue over here, and it just says, "Please stand here." Mm-hmm. And there's little footprints leading out the door, and there's
just
a line
of
whiskey.
Yeah,
yeah.
There's little benches and
very happy with it. Yeah. So, but the whiskey that we're trying right now is, and a lot of it was the Kirkland, which I've actually always been curious. I know they're white labels. They're made by big distilleries, but this is the Kirkland Signature Irish whiskey, product of Ireland. So
probably
that's what
their Jameson.
To.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
probably,
that's my thought.
And it's really good.
Yeah, it's good.
Totally respectable.
Wow. That's
a good whiskey. Yeah.
Man, now we don't know how much that costs, though.
It's
like rude
woody
to ask.
And earthy.
But that's
it's
like,
not bad. That's going to be cheap.
You could buy that and be good for the year, maybe.
Not you.
No.
It's like a couple weeks.
You know, the fact of this is that Dave's the one that would drink through that, son of bitches. You guys fucking always nail
it. I give that 3 spices out of 5.
Bastards. It's not spicy at all, yeah.
A little bit, yeah. Not, I mean, it has a touch.
It's smooth as fuck.
It has a touch right at the back of the throat.
I wish we had regular Jameson to test it against, but we don't.
I give it
tastes
4 Blarney Stones out of 5.
Blarney Stones.
Mm-hmm. It tastes a little
it
different.
It is different. It is different.
It should be clovers
it's
if
not,
we're going to do it
It's not
that
Jameson.
Way.
It's not an imitation Jameson,
no.
For sure.
Jameson tends towards the
I don't
sweet
think
side. This tended towards like a woody oaky side.
Yeah, these Kirkland whiskeys and all liquor, I guess, they're not imitating. It's not like Target brand shampoo.
No.
Like
no.
Where it's imitating
I think
head and shoulders
it
or
might
whatever.
Be the very same.
It might be.
It might be, or they're just distillers
right.
Who make their own shit right. And they have their own
it's
flavor.
It's own good whiskey.
Yeah.
That's a good whiskey, though.
Yeah, it is good. I would buy that.
Yep.
I would buy that.
So
actually, that'd be really good hot toddy.
It would.
Yeah.
So our topic today, and our plan is to release this one slightly out of our normal order. We normally release our second episode of the week on Friday, but since June 7th is a Thursday and that is Prince's birthday, that is when we'll be dropping this episode on the FFPs. So, Prince has been suggested to us for quite some time. Brent's brought it up several times, and I keep saying that I don't want to do it. And I'm not going to lie. The first time it was brought up, I straight up wasn't ready.
Right.
Like, it was shortly after his death, and I was like, I honestly can't talk about that.
Damn.
Like, it really fucked me up.
It's my willingness.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Like it fucked me up, like, more than I'm comfortable admitting publicly.
Wow.
And more than I thought that it ever would. But that wasn't why at this point, because you've suggested it several times over the last few months, to be honest, I didn't want to do it as a topic because every time we've done a musician, it's taken me twice as long to research.
Feel free to answer this or not.
Mm-hmm.
And your silence could represent yes or no.
Yes.
Did you cry?
I cried for an hour.
Fuck.
Cried more than I've cried for friends and family who have died. Which fucking blew me away. Like, but the thing is, like, people knew, which I thought was odd. I didn't know how much people knew that I loved Prince, because when he died, Erica came in the morning. I was on my computer. She came in the morning and she looked like really fucking serious. Mm-hmm. And she said, I have some really bad news. And it was like someone died. And I was like, oh, fuck. And she was like, Prince died. And I was like, huh. And it just kind of didn't really dawn on me.
Right.
And then when I went to work, I went to campus, and like throughout the day, probably 5 different colleagues popped their heads into my office and said, dude, I'm really sorry.
They knew.
Like they, and I was like, do people know I love Prince that much? Like, that's crazy.
I can't honestly remember, but I think I did get teary-eyed, and like it definitely affected me when Robin Williams died. That would fucking made me sad as fuck, because I was just like, damn, I had a ton of like childhood fond memories of laughing and that motherfucker making you smile and happy and Good Will Hunting and Hook and all the fucking shit that he did. And I was fucking sad about that.
Yeah. And I didn't expect like the whole day. And I even remember like the day he died, I stopped and got gas on the way home. And I remember I was standing there and I was like, wow, this is fucking like, this is a trip. Cause I parked and I was listening to Purple Rain as I was driving home, and I got out of the car and the car next to me was listening to Prince. Mm-hmm. The car across the street at another gas station was listening to Prince,
because they were playing on the radio,
but they were all completely different songs. And then a car drove by booming Prince, like ghetto booming. And then when I walked into the Fast Trip to pay for my gas, I was like, holy fucking shit.
Yeah.
Like, I've never seen a celebrity die and heard simultaneously five people playing the music.
When he died, there was a spike in Prince sales of 42,000%.
Yeah.
That's a real number. Yeah.
When he died, his net worth was $150 million, and now it's $300 million.
Wow.
And he's been dead for 2 years, if that tells you the spike.
They're all on the island. That's the Tupac trick.
No, he's totally on the Tupac island. But no, and then I got home that night, and I was just, and I read a friend of mine named Valerie, who's a huge Prince fan, just like I am, sent me a message on Instagram, and I read it. And I think she sent me a link to a video I hadn't seen before, and I watched it, and I just fucking, I cried for an hour. I was fucked up. Like, I couldn't believe it. I don't know how I'm going to react when
Willie goes. But
I mean, he was like, I listened, like, he was literally the first music in my life that I ever listened to and liked was Prince. My sister Lisa had his first albums and would listen to them on her record player. And I was like, that shit is dope. And then once I became older, that was the shit I listened to all the way through Purple Rain. Like, he completely informed my entire life, not just my childhood. And it fucked me up more than I ever thought would happen. From someone I don't even know, it really fucking.
And Brent noticed some similarities. He was explaining them to me before the show.
What's vegan, that?
Yes.
Well, and then he later claimed to be vegetarian, but aspired to be vegan.
Mm-hmm.
He was very androgynous. That's a similarity for sure. Yeah.
Okay.
Sexually ambiguous.
Okay.
In one of his albums, he actually had a small written rant about the cruelty of the wool industry.
Mm-hmm.
He wore purple a lot, and I don't know if you know it, but when you bend over, your basketball shorts do kind of show your whale tail, and it's shiny and it's purple most of the time.
Yeah.
You know, and I feel like, I don't know if you ever touched a bass, but I'm not if you're aware, but because you're black, you play bass and well, and you've never tried it. It doesn't matter if
you're good.
Yeah. If you go to Guitar Center and pick one up, it'll be impressive.
Right.
So
people are angry.
There's a lot of similarities there.
And we have similar, ethnic backgrounds.
Is he black? Is he white? Is he gay? Is he straight? All that stuff's going on. We can't figure it out. And I just really noticed that's probably why you connect with him.
Except I am like a foot and a half taller than he was.
Yeah, though. That's okay. Oh,
damn, was he that short?
He was 5'3".
God damn, that is short. I didn't come across that. Yeah. That's fucking really
five
short.
5'3". Yeah.
Willow. Oh, that's why he wore those fucking heels and needed hip surgery from dancing in fucking high heel boots and shit. That is short. 5'3". That's like Sylvester Stallone's like 5'6", I think, right?
Crazy.
Yeah, 5'6". Yeah. Like small Mexican girl.
Yeah.
Because the ethnicity mattered on the height, right? There's no 5'3".
Not Mexicans are short. We know this.
Yeah.
We know this.
Yeah. They have Matias.
No, they're like 4'8".
Mexican ladies get Matias.
Asians are 4'8".
You know Mexicans are like 5'2",
5'3". Matia?
Uh-huh.
The black lady Matia?
That's the mid-30s exploding ass syndrome. It's called Matias.
I don't know what that is.
It happens to Mexican women. After their 30s, they can set like a can of fucking Tecate on their ass. Yeah, just the bottom part blows out. They look normal from the top.
Huh.
Yeah, in selfies and shit on Facebook, you'd have no idea.
They got the childbearing hips. Yeah, that's after babies.
Yeah,
right.
It doesn't necessarily mean the 30s.
Yeah.
After babies.
It's usually when it happens. It's called Matias when it does happen.
Yeah. Those are salsa handles.
Salsa handles.
Yeah. Like dancing handles.
Yeah.
Doing salsa.
So I'll post various videos that I thought were worthy of watching in the show notes. So if you want to look at them there.
I realized after this, I could hear Purple Rain in my head. And I was like, how do I have that in my head? So clear, that reverby echo, like Purple Rain, I could hear him. And I was like, I had a Fisher Price fucking record player. And I had forgotten all about this memory, right? And the couple records that I had was, I had a Michael Jackson record.
Uh-huh.
I had Prince Purple Rain.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like something else was on it. like, is Doves Cry on that one or something? Yeah. It was a 7-inch. What's the one with the big hole in the middle? It's not a 33, 78.
45.
45? Is it a 45? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it was that. It was a little record. It was a Prince, like, single of Purple Rain. And then I had We Are the World.
Nice.
Michael Jackson.
Yeah, I had the We Are the World single. I don't know where they came from, but I had a little Fisher-Price record player. I remember being on the patio at my grandma's house, and she had, like, a deck. Like, I can see the wood on the floor, my record player sitting there, and I remember listening to We Are the World and Purple Rain and Michael Jackson nice. With my little weird record player.
Nice.
So that was like, that was 85 or something probably. You know, I was little, 84 maybe. I don't know what year that, what year was Purple Rain?
84.
So yeah, that's right on. So yeah. Everyone had that shit.
So you might've just gained points to move up a tier, not in black or white, but in mulatto.
In mulatto. Oh, wow. That's a side branch of the tier.
Because yeah. If you're rocking Prince and MJ, you're kind of getting that.
No, I had a Michael Jackson. I'm going to call him an action figure because I don't want to say doll. But I had like the one that you broke out of the big ass pack. It was a Michael Jackson with this fucking glove and everything.
Nice.
I also had all the A-team figures that were that big.
That's dope.
And we had a Scotty. And that motherfucker chewed the head off of fucking B.A. Baracus, and I was fucking sad.
Fuck yeah,
home.
You were.
That's the same dog that pulled the covers back, puked in my bed, and made the bed. Black put the covers guy, back and covered it.
Black guy black guy always dies first.
Yeah. Yep, that's right.
Fucking B.A. Baracus is fucking right. Down.
Yeah,
man down.
Out of all those, yeah, he didn't mess with Face.
Yeah.
He didn't mess with fucking, what was Hannibal?
Yeah, Hannibal.
Murdoch. Hannibal. Left him Murdoch. All alone, Jesus. Went straight for the black dude. Racist fucking Scotty.
Yeah,
that bastard.
Scottish people are racist.
And I will give a shout out. One of the videos that I'm going to post was shown. I had never seen it before, and Sammy Walsh shared it with me. Mm-hmm. And it's a video. It's potato quality. It's a shit quality video. But
potato
surprised.
Quality. Yeah. I've never heard that term.
You
haven't heard that?
Yes, you have. He said it.
I've said. I think I've said it. Thing. Before. It's an. It's
internet
Reddit,
slang.
It's a Reddit
slang. Internet slang.
Yeah. What are we doing?
No, it's potato.
We're
quality.
Ganging up on you, apparently.
Yeah, potato call. Anyway,
he said that before.
It's
I don't remember yesterday, sir.
Well, that's true.
You were excited about that.
Yeah. I know. So, Sammy Walsh is a fancy man, and we trade food picks.
Yeah,
and his are always the winner because there's wine involved, and that's extra points.
Sammy's a very beautiful girl.
Yeah, she is.
She's a good looking guy.
Yeah, he is.
They are attractive.
Yeah.
They.
But he showed me a video that
I mean, she's why I'm into trannies.
Right. He is.
It's the glasses.
She.
It's a video of Purple Rain, and it's literally the first time he ever performed Purple Rain on stage at a club in Minneapolis, and it was actually recorded and filmed.
I saw that.
And it's the version that he used in the album.
No one had heard it yet.
No one had heard it
yet.
And
no one applauded it.
Nope. No one heard it. It was the first time they ever played it. And you can, like, there's parts of it that are cut. There's extra lyrics. There's longer guitar fills, etc., that are cut. But it's distinctly the same exact song that is on the album. The same crowd noise, the same everything. Because as they were getting ready to record Purple Rain, he did a bunch of live performances of the songs to see if he could capture one that sounded good. And then when they went back to the studio, apparently he said none of these sound as good as this one.
Right.
But I'll share the link to that because it's pretty.
He was kind of known for wanting the first take. Like I saw a documentary that talked to some of the studio musicians or whatever, but there was like a violinist or something. Cause he had a violinist. And she was like, we would do a take and then we'd be like, ooh, I could do better. Like, I'm not really happy with that part because they were used to being like, oh, we'll take 20 takes and make this shit perfect.
Right.
And he wanted that feel that was more natural and organic. And he would just be like, nope, I like the way that sounds. We're going with it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
He's fucking crazy.
No, and the whole thing, like his, like one of the things, I mean, we'll get into his timeline and all that stuff, but one of the things that was pretty epic about him was his work ethic. And I mean, obviously he was a ladies' man. Like there's a long list that we'll get into of all the different celebrities that he had sex
Carmen
with.
And relations. I was impressed with that. Yeah. I was like, wow, that's weird.
Tons and
she
tons.
She had sex with everybody.
Yeah, she did.
But he was the first.
he was?
He's the one that brought her onto the scene. But
broke that pony in, huh?
Yeah. But like all of his exes would be pissed off because they would have this wonderful romantic night and have sex and go to bed and they'd wake up in the middle of the night and there would just be a note on the pillow that said, I'm downstairs in the studio, have a good night.
Right.
And like as soon as he hit it, he would just go downstairs and work. But
all live in Texas and ran into each other.
Yeah. But all of his all of his sound engineers, all of his musicians, everyone would basically say he, like, one of his sound engineers said that they he worked more than one 40-hour day with him, mm-hmm. because he would get into the studio and have a vision, and he wouldn't stop until the song was done.
There was a female sound engineer that I watched. She was, like, one of the main people they talked to in the documentary, and she said it was really uncommon to finish a song in a day, but all of his songs, he would go, and they really, most of the time, wouldn't leave until that one song right. was done. He would finish it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But what would blow your fucking mind is most people probably don't know this, or maybe I'm the idiot. I didn't know a lot about him. I didn't even know how I love guitar, and I appreciate mm-hmm. good guitar players, and mm-hmm. I didn't realize how good
he's fucking unbelievable.
Of a musician he is, and yeah. how good of a guitar player he is. And he played everything. Like, he was the fucking Dave Grohl, where he would just go in there and be like, I'm going to play the drums mm-hmm. or program the drum machine so that I can convey my thought process to the drummer exactly. Right. One of the guys was quoted to say, like, you know, back in the day before drum machines, you could tell the drummer, like, I think it'd be like this. And he'd play what you said, but he'd put his spin on it. But when drum machines and stuff came out, and as technology came out, Prince really embraced a lot of that yeah. stuff. They had, like, synthesizers that had fucking weird knobs mm-hmm. and voices, and he would embrace those things because he was able to convey his thought musically
right.
to the person because he heard it. He literally dreamed the song Manic Monday for the Bengals.
Yeah.
Did you see that?
Yeah.
Like, he fucking, like, they recorded all night long, and he told the studio engineer, if I dream a chorus, I'll be back in the morning. And she was like, fuck, he's back. It's like 9 a.m. Jesus Christ. Like, they just left at 4 in the morning, and she's kind of pissed. And he's like, I told you if I dreamed a chorus. She's like, what do you mean you dreamed a chorus? And she said they went in there and he recorded Manic Monday. That everyone fucking knows that yeah. song by the Bengals. Yeah, and yeah. then the Bengals needed a song, and for whatever reason, he gave that to them.
Yeah.
But yeah, I didn't even know he wrote that. Sinead O'Connor fucking, yeah. Yeah. I had no idea.
And his 2 weeks ago, his original version of Nothing Compares to You that he recorded in 1984 got released, and it's fucking dope.
Another sad story. Like, Chris Cornell does a great version of that. There's an acoustic really? Version of Nothing yeah. Compares to You. Yeah.
But no, he's an incredible guitarist. A friend of mine, Creighton, whose birthday is the day after mine and is therefore less cool than I am. He's like a huge,
he's a black hat hacker, and he does heroin.
He is actually
too. Yeah.
But he's a huge, like, metal fan. He loves death metal, speed metal. Like, all he listens to is guitar, like shredding fucking hardcore guitar.
I miss Creighton. He used to come by all the time. Yeah. Like, usually, like, summertime, he should be showing back up if he's not just in Hawaii or some shit.
It'll be both.
Yeah.
But, he's all about guitar, and he went and saw Prince basically on my recommendation. And after the concert, he was like, that's probably as good a guitar as I've ever seen anyone play ever.
I just didn't associate it. I just remember seeing clips in the 80s of that goofy guitar with the shape, mm-hmm. you know, sticking off of it, and just mm-hmm. thinking, God, it's gaudy. Like, yeah, I don't like the way the guitar looks, and I just dismissed it.
Right.
Like, I saw, like, Little Richard in a funny guitar or something. Right. I didn't have an appreciation right. or respect right. like I do now after looking it up and having to watch that shit.
And it's like, and I saw him in concert 4 times, and they were 4 of my, they were the top 4 concerts I've ever seen in my life. Like, no one has compared to him. I went and saw him in the Hollywood.
Compares.
Nothing compares to you. I went and saw him at the Hollywood Bowl. And I remember at one point he was standing on a purple grand piano. He had his guitar. He was shredding the guitar. He dropped down and did his splits. He started humping the air while playing his guitar, laying on the grand piano. Then he would, with his back on the piano, stop playing the guitar and play the piano over his shoulders backwards and upside down. And then he did the splits and hopped up in his high heels while shredding a guitar solo and playing the piano with the heels of his high heeled boots.
There's no way, like, that dude wasn't.
What the fuck are you doing?
There's no way he wasn't the master of the bedroom, right?
Oh, God.
There's no fucking way.
There are those, I mean, there's those music genius, know, types, you know, like, and he definitely was a music genius.
Yeah.
He could play, do, sing anything.
In any range.
I mean, you know, a lot of people say Freddie Mercury was one of the greatest singers of all time. Freddie Mercury, similar, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But you have people like Prince, you know, people like Jimi Hendrix, you know, people
James Brown,
you know, these people that are just multi-talented, multifaceted people. It's amazing.
Prince sang in falsetto, and I was really surprised, like, when watching interviews,
how deep his voice is.
Very deep voice, so, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
So soft spoken. And if it wasn't for that George Michael 5 o'clock fucking shadow, he's almost just beautiful.
Right.
Like, you're like, what the fuck is happening right now?
Exactly.
You're like,
I'm so confused.
Yeah, I'm so confused right now. Is he really pretty? Like, yeah. It's like when Michael Jackson went into his Janet Jackson phase where you're like, Jesus Christ, he looks just like Janet Jackson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you talked about him doing, like, some of the crazy performances like that. I forget this my friends took me to see a band down at the Troubadour down in Hollywood. Mm-hmm. And I forget the, I wish I could think of the band name, but it was like a band's band. You know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. normal people didn't listen to this music. Like they did offbeat, you know, five sevens, like you know,
Brian
like
Setzer.
Yeah. Weird shit. But like the music was fucking amazing. Right. And I remember the performance that they did, but the fucking bass player was fucking insane.
Right.
Like he was doing, playing bass and then does a fucking backflip never misses a lick, dude. Like he's playing the whole time and he's like fucking backflipping around stage and fucking spinning his fucking guitar around his neck and fucking like, I've never seen anything like
Have you seen the video of the drummer that's like the overqualified drummer? It's like he's in the wrong band.
No.
Like it's just band. Yeah. It's kind of shitty, but the drummer is insane and like flipping sticks and throwing them in the air and doing all this shit and fucking headbanging. And the rest of the band is just like,
and he's fucking badass.
But he's killing it back there.
Yeah.
And you're like,
but,
man, this guy just wanted to play drums and couldn't find a gig. And it's like, fuck it, I'll do it.
Yeah, and those people are out there, you know, like it's just, you know.
And I read, I got the book shortly after he passed away. There's a book called Nothing Compares to You. And it's written by a guy, I hate his name. His name is Touré, T-O-U-R-E. He's like a journalist.
Touré.
He's like MSNBC. Yeah. He's written a lot of like really high-end books, but he wrote a biography of Prince and he interviewed Questlove, all these people that were friends with him, everything, like all of his sound engineers, his old band members. Like it's a really legit, well-researched book. And he talks about a lot of the different stuff that's going on. And one of the things he talks about is his work ethic and how prolific he was. And one of his sound engineers and one of his band members who were both involved when they recorded Purple Rain in 1984, they said, I don't think anyone, and people talk about the vault, like Prince has his vault.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And people were saying, I don't think anyone realizes how prolific he was. They said, when we recorded Purple Rain, for every song that made it on the Purple Rain album, he literally recorded 10 songs that he didn't think fit the album.
He said
it's not that they weren't good. It's not that he didn't think they were good songs because they were amazing Prince songs. They just didn't fit the narrative of the album. And he said literally for every album that we would record with Prince, we would end up with 3 or 4 more albums worth of material that he would just throw in the vault. And to tell you how many albums he has, when I was reading this, when I was doing research, I kept running into songs and I was like, I haven't listened to that song in years. Like, why haven't I listened to that? And then I started looking at my phone and I realized, oh, I don't have that album on my phone. I just have it on my computer.
Right.
So I looked at my phone and my phone had 50 Prince albums on it.
Jesus Christ.
And I realized that I was missing 8 albums on my phone. So now I have 58 albums. Plus I just bought a 5-disc concert album that I just put on my phone as well.
I can't remember the name of the documentary.
And he's written as 3 or 4 albums for each of those albums are in the vault.
If I find the doc, I'll post the link, but it was like, it was just so cool to see that the recording engineers and the people that were involved in working with him during like the fucking like 1984, like during those years were in such awe of his talent that they would said that you would just show up. And they said they knew within like 4 notes that hook is a hit. Like they knew that every day he was pumping out a fucking song. There was one point that he needed to get out of a record contract. So he just fucking pumped out 5 albums in like a year because that was the deal.
Yeah.
So he's like, fuck it. And pumped out 5 albums to get out of the contract.
A couple of the albums, because the contract specifically, you said you have to release 5 albums. 2 of them have to be new content. So he said, here's 3 albums.
Right.
And I'll give you 2 with new content because I've already got songs laying around. You want fucking hear? You want 5 albums? I got 5 albums. I got 150.
Some of those albums that came out that weren't that popular, but like one song would save it.
Yeah.
Because after Purple Rain, it was like, damn, that's hard to compete with. Like when Purple Rain came out, he had the number one song, and then the Purple Rain film came out, and he had the number one film at the same time as the number one song.
The number one album, and the number one single.
Has anyone ever done that?
No.
I don't think so.
No.
So after that was a hard act to follow. And he had like, what's the Beret song? The fucking
Raspberry Beret.
Raspberry Beret. Yeah. Yeah.
But his next Beret, 6 or 7 Beret albums still had,
I was picturing it spelled. Yeah.
At least one top 3, top 5 song, usually multiples, as he kept releasing albums.
But on those ones, it would be like, man, like the Raspberry Beret and then like the Alphabet, like the Little Red Corvette. Yep. Like so there was like these singles that would save an entire album though, because he did have a little rough patch there where,
yeah, those singles would top charts. They'd be 14, 10,
and
two.
I mean, he reached a point like even though technically Little Red Corvette came out before Purple Rain,
Oh, okay.
Just letting you know.
Yeah, well, I guarantee it won't be the last time I'm corrected by Dave on Prince.
But his albums, and I think he did reach a period where he no longer gave a shit how his album sold.
Right.
Like, he reached a point where he was recording music for other musicians. Mm-hmm. He reached a point where he was recording music for people Sheena he Easton, knew. Exactly.
Chaka Khan.
Like, he was the master of releasing commercial albums. And then even, I forget what year it was, 2006, I want to say. He hadn't released anything big in a while. And he said, you know what? I'm going to do a tour and do a big album. And he did a tour and did a big album. And it was one of the number one albums of the year. It was the number one tour of the year. Because he still knew how to do the marketing. He still knew how to do what he had to do to be that marketed person. He just didn't give a fuck.
I know we're Prince riffing, but do you want to go through the timeline then?
Yeah, we'll go through the timeline. So.
Because he started so young, writing songs at 7 and shit. It's really impressive.
Yeah, so his name is actually Prince. People are like, oh, what was his real name? His name was Prince. Yeah. And he was funky. His name was Prince Rogers Nelson, and it was because his father's jazz band was called the Prince Rogers Band or the Prince Rogers Trio, and he named his son after his band.
That's another obscure shirt we could get away with, probably.
What's the Prince Rogers?
The Prince Rogers Trio. Yeah. We can make that shirt.
Dope, actually,
I don't know. The estate, I'm sure, wrangled that motherfucker in.
So he had musicians as parents, and he was a musical prodigy.
He also did not like the name Prince. Did you hear what he wanted his friends to call him?
Was it
Skipper?
Skipper, yeah.
Yeah, I don't like the word, yeah.
No, stick with Prince, pal.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think he would have made it.
Ladies and gentlemen, with the hit Purple Rain.
Skipper.
Yeah, so he wasn't a total genius.
Yeah.
I mean, he did have the weird symbol.
The artist formerly known as Skipper.
But
did you see the thing about him being born epileptic?
Yeah.
And telling his mom one day, he was epileptic and had seizures when he was young. He walked in and told his mom one day, I'm not going to be sick anymore. And she was like, why is that? And he's like, because an angel told me. And then he wasn't sick anymore. Right. He just quit having seizures. Yeah. You know, I say he was faking it.
Right. Yeah.
He's like, fuck these pills.
But yeah, so his parents got a divorce, and his mom remarried a guy who was apparently somewhat abusive.
Right.
And he was known to lock Prince in his closet. At one point, there was a claim that he had locked Prince in his room for 6 weeks during summer vacation.
Oh, fuck.
And he would only let him out to go to the bathroom, and that he wouldn't let him leave. He wouldn't let him interact with anybody. And the only thing in the room was his piano and a bed.
Right.
And he came out 6 weeks later knowing how to play the piano.
He was a time traveler. He's like, you'll thank me later. Stay in there.
But there was, so one of the things when he was in high school, and I had read this a while ago, one of his high school teachers said that the easiest years of his entire career were the 4 years that Prince was in high school.
Right.
Because he said he would literally show up, unlock the band room. He gave Prince a key to the band room, because anytime Prince wasn't in class, he would go lock himself in the band room and just play every instrument that was in there. And I don't know if everybody's going to know who all these people are, but it was Prince, Andre Anderson, who became Andre Simone.
That was actually his neighbor.
Yeah.
AKA. Because he had a falling out with his father and went and lived in the neighbor's basement, who was Andre.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So AKA Andre Simone, Andre Agassi.
Yeah, that's right. Morris Day from The Time. And then Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis, who were from The Time, but were also massive producers in the 80s and 90s. They produced and wrote all the Janet Jackson albums. So these were all, they were all the same age as Prince. They all went to the same high school as Prince, and they were all fucking badass musicians. And Prince was like the maestro of all of them.
Right.
And the band instructor just said, I would just say, what should we do today? And they would say, let's study classical piano. And he'd be like, cool. And they would just start playing it, and Prince would bust out classical piano, because he fucking knew it.
Right.
And he said he would just let them run the class because they knew more than he did about music.
Well, one thing that we did skip is that at age 7, he wrote his own song on his dad's piano called The Funk Machine.
Funk Machine.
How fucking cool are you if you're 7 and your first song is called Funk Machine?
Yeah.
On your dad's piano.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
Yeah. That was called that? Funk Machine on your dad's piano.
Yeah.
Well, minus that part. Yeah.
Yeah. That part was from the Children of
God. He would have made it work, though. Even with that title, it would have worked.
So he ends up, when he's a teenager, he joins with a group called 94 East. And you can find some of their stuff. I know for a couple of years, you could find some 94 East albums in sort of regular circulation on Amazon and so forth. I think he just played guitar He wrote a lot of the songs. He played guitar. He didn't sing, but basically this is when he was like 13 and they started going around Minneapolis with 94 East, and he got tons of hype. Like all these like musicians were like, yo, did you hear about this kid who's fucking 13 and just like crushing it? And like, he couldn't even get into most clubs, 'cause even just to play with a band, he was too young. So he had to keep sort of doing gigs and playing. And then eventually he got old enough that they would let him into the different clubs.
94 East is in reproduction. You can actually buy it. You can buy a new vinyl LP 94 East eBay for like $20.
Nice.
Yeah.
And again, everybody just would always say, did you hear about the kid? Did you hear about the kid? Because no one knew what his name was. And I think that's why in the movie Purple Rain, his character's name is The Kid, because everybody would say, had you heard about the kid? So at 17, he signs with Warner Brothers with a 3-record deal.
At 17.
At 17. And he had to lie to the producers when he was playing demos for him and say he was 19.
Right.
And even then they thought he was too young. And his first 3 albums that he recorded, he completely wrote, produced, played every single instrument.
I saw the interview with the producer or the guy that signs the deal, and they were trying to sell it to him. And he was like, who is this? This band is amazing. Who are these guys? Who are these guys? Who are these? He's like, just sit down. I got to explain this to you. He's like, I don't sit down. Just tell me who these guys are. And he's like, sit down. He's like, just tell me
who the guy is.
One 17-year-old kid played all of that.
Yeah.
And the guy is like, I sat down. And we were like, what the fuck?
Yeah. Because you hear those early albums and they're fucking dope albums.
Yeah.
I mean, they don't sound quite as princey. They're a little bit sort of disco funky more than what he evolves into. But he's fucking 17. I mean, while he's doing this stuff. And this is when he does For You, Dirty Mind, Prince, Controversy, like his earliest stuff. And then he really breaks out big with 1999, which came out in 1982. And that was what really made him become a star.
Right.
Like when 1999 came out. And again, I had listened to those earlier ones because my sister was way into him and had a huge crush on him, et cetera. But when 1999 came out was the first time that I was like, I'm buying this fucking album.
Right.
It's not just cool stuff that's playing in the house. I wanted to buy 1999. And then his next album was Purple Rain, which if like for my age, like 1984 was like early high school years. Purple Rain dropped. Like that was the only thing that fucking mattered.
Right.
I remember a friend of mine was sort of famous for throwing parties. His parents were always out of town. They didn't care if he had parties. He had like epic parties at his house. And when Purple Rain came out on HBO, people would always ask, are you doing a party this weekend? And he would say, no, I can't do a party this weekend. Purple Rain's on HBO on Friday, so no one's going to come to the party.
Right.
Because no one would even go out.
Yeah,
like
it was
oh, fuck. Because there, I mean, no one had a VCR. It was like Purple Rain's on HBO. That's what everybody's doing is staying home to watch it. Like everyone had Purple Rain pins on their jackets.
We just went to a thrift store. My daughter found this fucking World Series ticket. Like we went to a Woolworths downtown and it's like it's an original Woolworths. And they have like a 50s diner and everything in there, but she goes over and picks up this book that's like, I don't know, butterfly categorization or something. And on the floor falls something. She picked it up and it was a 1978 World Series ticket for the Dodgers versus Yankees. And I was like, what the fuck is that real? And, so she's like looking on the rack and she's like, did it fall out of the butterfly book? And there is a 1978 program from the World Series.
Oh, shit.
So it fell out of that. And I was like, it's probably like a souvenir or something. So I look in there and I look it up and there is souvenir tickets, but they're row 1, section 1, seat 1.
Right, right.
So this one's real. I fucking look it up. It's got the watermarks. It's got the thing. Some guy went to the World Series in 1978, stuck that shit in his program, died, and his kids gave the shit to the thrift store. You know what I mean?
Right.
So it's in this antique store. I was like, oh, damn, that's fucking crazy. But when I was thumbing through the magazine, because I was like, that's the year I was born, 1978. So I'm like flipping through that shit. There was an ad for a VCR in there. And it was like so funny to look at it from that. And it was like, watch what you want, when you want, whenever you want. Like this whole like, but it was like wood grain with this fucking dials and buttons and shit.
Yep.
Fucking clock on it and shit. But it's so weird. We walked 2 aisles over. She walked past this giant bookshelf that had hundreds of books on this fucking shelf and sees a book that says like the universal history of everything or something. I was like, what is this? A Percy Jackson fucking movie?
The
like,
fuck?
Is she going to grab this and the fucking magic's going to happen? Are we going to get sucked into the Narnia book?
Some sort of portal.
Yeah. I was like, that's a crazy title for
what was
book.
It called?
I have a picture or something on my phone. I'll find it and I'll get it right. But it was something like the universal knowledge of everything or something like that. I was like, what the fuck is this? And so she pulls it out and opens it Dude, and I'm talking, this is a consignment store.
Unicorn fart.
Everyone's sections are their own individual sections. So I was trying to figure out, is there a relation between this? And maybe there is, but it's someone else's section with someone else's book that has nothing to do with that fucking sports almanac we just found, you know? So we walk over to that book. She pulls that one book out. I mean, we're talking 30 seconds from picking up the other thing that had the 1978 ticket stub. She opens that fucking book, and inside that book is a 1978 ticket stub to the Bakersfield Symphony Orchestra.
The we're fuck?
Like, what the fuck is happening? Is Nicolas Cage in here? Like, are we on a fucking, are we on a show? You know what I mean? Is there a camera behind me? Are we about to go on a fucking,
yeah,
a globe trekking adventure to find more
That's
shit?
Fucking crazy.
I was like, naturally grab another book right fucking now. If there's a ticket in it, we're running. Like, we're leaving. There's a map for a treasure or something. Nothing more came of it. But the VCR, fucking, just thinking about the era of not being able to watch what you want, yeah, when you want.
Yeah.
That made me think of that fucking story. It was a trip. Nothing else happened, though. Okay. Yeah.
Are you sure?
It's yet. I don't know. Arnold Schwarzenegger did come through the wall.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Dressed like the Kool-Aid man.
Yeah. I'm talking about that fucking movie where they go into the theater. What's that movie? Where they have the ticket stub and they can go in the theater and they fucking fight all the bad guys and shit. Fucking movie is that?
Last Action Hero?
Is it Last Action Hero?
Is it a Guy Ritchie film?
Yeah. He's like, I've just killed a man and I did it on purpose. That one. With the guy with the eyeball. It is Last Action Hero.
Did you look at my snatch?
I didn't see your snatch though. Okay. No. But I have carne asada butthole, just so you know.
Okay. So one thing that came from Purple Rain was that Darling Nikki, the song, which if you aren't familiar with it, go listen to it. It has a lot to do with masturbation. Al Gore, and the inventor of the internet and creator of global warming. He caused it, by the way. Mm-hmm. His wife Tipper Gore walked in on their 11-year-old daughter listening to Darling Nikki by Prince.
Right.
They freaked out. And the reason that right now there are parental advisor stickers are because Tipper Gore took it to the Senate because of Prince's Darling Nikki from Purple Rain.
Yeah, she actually founded the Parents Music Resource Center. I didn't know that that was a relation to Al Gore, though. I didn't.
Yeah.
Did their driver, Igor, drive them there to the meeting?
So, but it was huge, massive album. And anybody who's a big fan, a remaster last summer, I believe, the last thing that Prince worked on before he died was a full studio remaster of Purple Rain.
And you know why he did that? Cause he didn't own Purple Rain.
Cause he was dying.
They talked about it on Larry King. He had to re-record Purple Rain and a couple other songs. And then that way they owned the master. So that I'd go redo some of those hit songs so that he could own it. Yeah.
So, but if you got the Mega Deluxe Edition, it's not just the remaster of the album, but it's also all the B-sides from the singles.
Right.
And it's also a bunch of like extended versions, like crazy fucking 11-minute versions of Purple Rain songs that are unbelievable. So if you're a Purple Rain fan and you don't have that, go buy the Deluxe Mega version because it's got some dope shit on
it. That's the only way I get my albums and my burgers. The Deluxe Mega version.
Deluxe too. Mega, yeah. Yep. But so then he
was super deluxe mega on that.
He releases more albums, Around the World in a Day in 1985. And again, it was a pretty big album. Parade, had a bunch of number one hits like Kiss on it. And it was based on the movie Under the Cherry Moon, which is a very strange movie.
Yeah. He fucking wrote, like directed, starred in, ended the whole thing. They said that maybe that movie might've been an excuse just for him to make that weird album and soundtrack.
It might have been.
Yeah.
It's a very un-Prince-like.
Yeah, and Kiss doesn't really even fit the theme of the whole fucking thing.
It doesn't fit the sound of the thing either.
And they didn't want Kiss. Like, everyone was like, that thing sounds like shit. Sounds like a demo. There's like dead space on it. He pauses a lot. And I got to see the guy who played guitar on one of the tracks, and he's like, no one can actually play that guitar. That's not a real guitar thing. He's like, we took a gate or something on a track and made the guitar riff like match the fucking hi-hat snare hits or something by like fluctuating some fucking weird thing on a mixing board. It was like some Pink Floyd shit they were doing. right. But he said that they stayed up all night trying to make that that happen because it was going to be that guy's, as a studio musician, his first time being listed other than like assistant engineer. He was actually going to be on a Prince song on Kiss.
Right.
And then when he showed up to work, Prince had already been in there for a couple hours and like laid down all the vocals, pulled shit off, did something else.
That's what
like
you get for going to sleep.
Yeah, completely changed it. And he said, this is too good for you guys, I'm taking it or something, and like took it back.
Damn, that's fucked up.
Damn, dude, that's rough.
Yeah. And the guy was sad. He was like, fuck. But And he was involved in the process of making the song. Right. So still pretty cool.
I really enjoyed the movie. Very strange movie. He's like a gigolo.
I've seen Purple Rain. I was going to go to try to watch that shit, but I saw like, it was like, was it black and white?
It's black and white. Piano? It's in France. He plays a gigolo in a very strange movie, but I love the music from it. Then he did Sign of the Times in 1987, which was a concert movie slash album. Great album.
Tell me this. Have you watched Chappelle, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that Charlie Murphy story has some fucking...
100%.
You think it's true?
100%.
You know what I'm talking about, right, Brad? No. Where Charlie Murphy is hanging out at a club and Prince shows up. And this is the time, too. It's like 85 or mm-hmm. something. So that's Eddie Murphy's like raw. That's when all that shit's going on. Prince is hot as fuck. All that shit's up. And Charlie Murphy is Eddie Murphy's brother. Have you ever seen Charlie Murphy at all?
Yeah.
Fucking hilarious.
He's talked
fucking
about funny. Him. Yeah.
So Charlie Murphy is allegedly hanging out and Prince says... goes up to Eddie Murphy and says, hey, man, I really like your comedy or whatever. And they're like, oh, cool. And he's like, hey, you want to go back to my house and watch some music? And so they go back to Prince's house to listen to music or something. And everything's cool and having a party. And he said he's bored. And then Prince says, you guys want to play some basketball?
Yep.
And then Charlie Murphy and Eddie Murphy and their little crew start laughing. Like, I'm fucking sure like Prince and the fucking Revolution are going to play us some basketball. And they're like, oh, he's serious. And Prince goes and gets like shorts and shirts and shit for him because he just has them on hand and has his own basketball court, allegedly, mm-hmm. and gives shirts to Eddie Murphy and Charlie Murphy and their crew to go play. And so they head out, they change and head out to the court. And then the funniest part is, I mean, they reenact it, Chappelle or whatever, playing Prince. Yeah. And they fucking come walking out. He's like, those motherfuckers are still wearing their shit. He has on like a fucking purple blouse and shit. And so they're just laughing at him. He's just like, what's so funny? I can't even do it justice. You have to watch that fucking thing if you've never seen it. But then Prince whoops their ass at basketball and he's like calling out plays and shit and beats them at basketball and their mind's blown. And he's like, so what happened after he beat you? He's like, he took us inside and made us pancakes. Yeah. Like, what?
Here's the thing. You don't understand.
Like pancakes.
Before I saw that skit, I already knew this because I had seen several people. Like, I read one interview. There was a guy who Prince let into Purple Rain and he was going to give him an interview. He hadn't done an interview in a couple of years. So this guy's like totally stoked. I think he worked for Vibe magazine. And he flies to Minneapolis, goes to Paisley Park, shows up in the afternoon. And the person takes him in and they say, Prince is at the basketball court. Let me take you back there. And tells, like, has the reporter change his clothes, puts him in basketball clothes, takes him to the basketball court. And when he gets to the basketball court, it's Prince, Spike Lee, and Chuck D from Public Enemy playing hoops. And they get the reporter to come in there. And the reporter says that Prince completely destroyed all of them with basketball because he's an incredible basketball player.
We skipped over it. In high school, he played baseball, football, and basketball. He was like a varsity basketball star, and we didn't really talk about it.
5'3".
And then he continued. Yeah, 5'3", Spud Webb over here.
Yeah.
He fucking continued to play basketball throughout his adulthood. But that is kind of a... Yeah.
And there's also there's endless accounts from women who had affairs with him or had relationships with him and other band members who came around that say in the middle of the night, he would be getting ready to do or come down from a recording session, and he would stop and make scrambled eggs and pancakes for everybody. And he would never eat, but he was like notoriously famous for wanting to cook everyone pancakes and give them to him. And he had a personal chef.
Yeah.
And I actually read an interview with his chef. And
he liked making pancakes.
He had a hard time keeping chefs because they said all that he ever wants to eat is frosting and bread. And all he does is make pancakes for everybody.
That's what he lived off of?
Yes.
That just shows like genetics. That motherfucker was like Brad Pitt guitar and a shirt off.
When I saw that skit, I was like, no, all signs indicate that this is
Charlie Murphy. That's sad Charlie's gone, but it fucking was such a sincere story. And at the end, he's like, you think I'm making up stories and shit? He's like, you run into Prince, you challenge him to a game of basketball and make sure your fucking friends are with you. I was like, that's hilarious. So if you haven't seen that, go watch fucking Charlie Murphy's Prince basketball story on Chappelle.
So he keeps knocking out albums. He does the Batman album in 1989.
Batman, dance song. Well, they said he was supposed to do, like, they expected he was going to pull some shit out of the fucking vault, and he ends up making an entire album just for that movie.
And apparently most of the songs on that album he recorded in one night. Like, Tim Burton showed him the movie, and then he went home and recorded half the album in one night, like, final studio versions that were on the album. He just knocked them out in one night.
Well, when you're dreaming like number one and number two hits, like
not that big of a deal. And I also loved this era because he did several music videos and several concerts where he would show up dressed like the Joker with half of his face painted like the Joker.
I saw a picture like that and I was like, did he have a cameo in the movie or something?
Nope. Yeah. He just kind of did it because he's awesome. But then he joined up with the New Power Generation. He made a fairly failed sequel to Purple Rain called Graffiti Bridge.
Oh, I didn't know that was a sequel.
Very, very strange. Very fucking strange movie.
You know, because at some point he starts loving Jesus really hard. That's when he goes to his symbol, formerly known as Prince and whatnot. And he starts caring, because I watched a Larry King interview and he kind of alludes to like, he's more concerned about his like soul and like his... just making music for what he wants to make. I mean, obviously he's fucking top of the mountain. Like he doesn't have to prove anything to anyone anymore. He separates himself from his name and whatnot. And he just wants to be creative, I think. And he has the, like the luxury of like being able to take a risk like that.
Right.
To be able to be like, I'm just going to do weird fucking shit. Yeah. Someone else we covered did that weird stuff like that. I can't think who it was.
I can't remember.
They made music, weird music videos, Watch and all that
shit.
What was that?
All artists eventually do that.
Yeah, I think so. Especially when you have that freedom. It's like, I'm already rich. I've already got the skill. I've already got connections. I've already got a fucking studio. I have no more pressure.
They start doing some weird shit just because they can.
Right. And a lot of times it's fucking dope shit. Because he at this same era, like right before Graffiti Bridge, he actually recorded an album called The Black Album, which was really dark and really sort of a bleak album. And he met a poet named Ingrid Chavez, who's the female lead in Graffiti Bridge. And he basically became convinced that he needs to be doing positive things with his music, not negative things. So he completely buried The Black Album. Which wasn't really completely buried because people still had copies of it. So, like he was notorious for killing projects and sound engineers
and
would
musicians.
Still have a copy.
Yeah.
And especially if you lived in that area, like I lived close enough to Minneapolis that I could kind of trickle some bootleg stuff. I had a copy, a really dog shit copy of the Black Album in like 1989, but then he released it finally later on.
I believe like 90s. Metallica released the Black Album and then also like Jay-Z.
Right.
So like artists, you know, follow along that,
right.
You know, you could see the influence. A band like Metallica, I'm not sure if they had that influence, but I would be pretty sure that Prince would influence a band like that. You know,
and there's also
same
like
thing
there
with Jay-Z.
He met Miles Davis, and apparently they were huge fans of each other. So they went back to Paisley Park, and he and Miles Davis recorded an album.
Well, didn't the Beatles have the White Album?
Yeah, they did.
Yeah.
So that was probably first.
So
and then Weezer, blue, green, all of
but them. He and Miles Davis had a huge fight right after they finished recording the entire album, and they both insisted that the masters be destroyed because they hated each other and they didn't want anyone to ever get it.
So no one got it.
A sound engineer got it made a fucking. I have it on vinyl at home.
Oh wow!
And it's fucking Prince and Miles Davis. It's a fucking trippy ass album, but it's like so. There's a lot of shit from the vault that leaks around and kind of floats through space, but this era was weird. Graffiti Bridge was a massive failure as far as a movie. The album actually sold pretty well, and there's some really fucking cool tracks on it, but it didn't do very well. And then he started doing more. He met up with the New Power Generation. He did Diamonds and Pearls.
I don't know what album it was from, but there was some kind of a collaboration he had with an orchestral like arranger. Like there was someone that did like a orchestra arrangement, and he was mailing the guy tapes and letting him just do whatever. He was like, this Prince is just mailing us tapes.
Right.
Like he just wants us to arrange this for him.
Well, for a while he was working on a rock opera, but he ended up putting the kibosh on it. So that's probably what
it wasn't
that
even
was.
That though. It's like in major songs, like something came out. Like, I think it was like when Batman came out, because he would have them create these orchestra pieces because they had an orchestra and they would go, okay, he's playing this, let's do this. And they would have real musicians make this orchestra arrangement to go behind this Prince song. And then they would send it back to him, and sometimes he just wouldn't use it,
right?
But then all of a sudden it popped up like in the Bat Dance or something,
right?
And Warner Brothers was like, hey, we made a movie and you get a check because we just sold like 30 million of these fucking records or whatever, and you get royalties from the movie because we use it in the song. And they were like, what the fuck, that was for like the song, like, and he just kept it and used it later because he knew it fit perfectly.
Yep But so in 92, he ended up signing a $100 million deal with Warner Brothers,
God damn, it's
which was at the, it might still be, but at the time it was the largest record deal ever signed. It was like that same year, Madonna and Michael Jackson had $60 million contracts that they signed, but he one-upped them with a $100 million contract, and he released a couple of albums. And then, ultimately he had a falling out with Warner Brothers, and that was when he started to write Slave on his face. And part of the loophole was, he couldn't Prince couldn't record any music, and he legally changed his name to an unpronounceable symbol and right. released the five albums he had to release and said, you got your albums. I'm not Prince anymore. Go fuck off.
Yeah. Right.
So he used the symbol, which was actually called Love Symbol Number Two, right. oddly enough. Huh. But that became his name, and everyone just referred to him as the artist formerly known as Prince. That wasn't what he called himself, but nobody knew what
the media actually derived that yeah. because, and Larry King was like coming up with like situations. He's like, so I call you on the, or you call me on the phone. Hey, Larry, it's, and he was like, I wouldn't call you on the phone. I really don't like the phone. I don't call people. He's like, okay, you call your friends. He's like, they know my voice. He was just like, there was no getting.
I don't have to explain. Yeah, he's
like, so why the artist formerly known as Prince?
He's
like, I didn't create that label for me. That's really the media's portrayal of my right. Of my persona. Or so you're like, God, this guy is fucking smart as fuck. And he's like, not falling for any of this. He's like, so you're you're an odd character. You're an odd person. He's like, in what way do you mean? And he was just like, well, you know, people don't change their name to a symbol and this and that. And he's like, well, and it's like he had great answers for fucking everything. Yeah. He was just cool. Like, you could not dislike the guy.
That's how you get out of a contract.
Yeah. Exactly.
That's exactly.
I mean, he was a very quirky guy, but B, he was also very aware of his. He was also allegedly famously shy, and like as far as cameras and interviews,
he's
never
gave him. Soft-spoken and chill,
yeah.
man.
Yeah, very.
Seems like he just smoked a joint. But he's handling it well.
Did either of you ever watch that TV show, The New Girl?
Oh, yeah. I've seen that.
Did you see the one with Prince in it?
No.
Holy yes.
fucking yeah, I did. Shit. It's yeah. so good.
I heard Deschanel is not nice.
Yeah. No, that's probably not. I've heard the same thing. But yeah, the.
I don't spread that rumor, though. I don't know that.
No, I've heard the
she's
same
not.
Thing.
But
she's not. Beautiful, and I've she met sings her. Well. You didn't
she's
either.
A bitch.
When I was. When he was on the set.
Horrible bitch.
Yeah, she is. When he was on the set, like that episode was supposed to have the Kardashians in it. And apparently he called the producer like 3 weeks before they were going to film. And he said, I really like your show. I want to be in it this week. And they were like, okay, Prince.
Yeah.
like, yeah, no
we'll
shit,
write
no.
that
and
in.
Then, and then I guess he found out like a day later that the Kardashians were going to be in it. And then he called back and said, if the Kardashians are in it or anywhere on the soundstage when I'm there, I will not do the show.
Oh, wow.
Uh-huh.
So they ended up kicking the Kardashians
yeah.
off the show.
That's hilarious.
And like, so they didn't do the episode because they wanted Prince to do it. So they were like, sorry, Kardashian.
So he's on an episode.
He's
though.
On an episode. Yeah, and it's up. He's totally spoofs himself. Like, right. Like at one point, a butterfly flies down and lands on his finger. Like, it's just, it's so fucking funny. Like,
was it you that told us the story about him being carried out in the velvet box and shit? Was that you that said that?
Well, yeah, actually, Chris Truett did that because when he did the, I think it was the musicology tour, he played here in town. He played Staples Center. It was the first night of the entire tour was at the Staples Center, which I bought the tickets for. And it was like on a Friday night. And then like several months later, he like after the tickets were sold, but before the concert happened, he released a secondary list of dates. And they were a lot of sort of mid-sized towns. And he actually was going to play here. So I had tickets to go see him in LA on Friday and then see him here in town on Sunday on the same weekend. And it was actually a better show here, to be honest, than the one at the Staples Center. But it was a funky stage in the middle, like all the seats on the floor of the arena came around this really small stage right in the middle. And once everything started, the band members would walk out and climb up on stage. And then once it kicked up, Prince would just rise up out of the middle of the stage. But it's it's an ice rink.
Right.
But apparently like an hour before the show, they put him in a box, wheeled the box. Like actually like while people were already in the stadium,
so he's chilling in
they
a box
wheeled
for
him
an hour.
In a box under the stage, put the stage back together and left. And like I watched the box get wheeled under the stage and Prince was in it and he just hung out down there with his guitar until the show started.
You didn't know he was in the box.
No, fucking no.
He was watching reruns of New Girl.
Yeah. That's right. But and apparently like and that was the thing because I've heard from people who have been at stadiums where he was performing that he was a complete fucking Nazi. He was like, you can't smoke on or around the building. Everyone there is only going to eat vegetarian food. If he finds out that you ate anything that isn't vegetarian, you'd get kicked out and you wouldn't be able to work the show. Like crazy. Like, don't talk to him. Don't look at him. Don't approach him. Like all these fucking crazy things. But then, and a friend of mine actually worked on New Girl. And I fucking hate his guts, Andy, you fucking piece of shit, because he got to meet Prince on that episode. And I was like, is he super controlling like that? He was like, dude, he was the nicest fucking guy. He's just, and I'm not surprised. Like, that's not his thing.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just here acting on a show I like. This isn't me getting ready to perform and be fucking Prince. I'm just kicking it.
He's just control freak about his project.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So, but again, I suspect a lot of musicians, actors, you have to be like that, you know? He released a bunch of movies a bunch of albums that weren't huge hits, but great fucking tracks on every single one of them. Did the Super Bowl show in 2007 that I think Rolling Stone declared the best Super Bowl halftime show of all time.
Actually, I watched that. That was a good show.
It was a good show. And throughout all this, a million relationships. He had romance with Kim Basinger.
Right. That probably came from the Batman thing.
It did. Yeah. There's actually the Scandalous Sex Suite, which is a sort of a mini album he released right around Bat Dance. Like, she has a lot of orgasms on the album, and allegedly they're real.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So if you get the Scandalous Sex Suite, you can hear Kim Basinger have a, but anyway, he had Madonna, Vanity, Sheila E., Carmen Electra, Susanna Hoffs from the Bangles, Sherilyn Finn from Twin Peaks, like just tons and tons of movie stars and actresses and models and everything that he would have affairs with. He ended up getting married to one of his background singers named Maite Garcia, and they actually had a child together, but the child died when he was a week old.
You're being nice about how that relationship started, though.
How did it? Oh, yeah. She was 16.
Yeah. He met her in Germany when she was 16, because he saw a dance video of her, then moved her to his Paisley fucking
estate. Her whole family.
Yeah. And then became it's one of those mentor situations.
Right.
He watched over her from 16 until she was 19. And then he told her to get on birth control, married her. And then, so that's a little bit weird, but you know what? He has a pretty good track record, really, though.
And
there was no other weirdness. He nailed like the fucking hot.
He didn't fuck her when she was 16, though.
Right.
Allegedly, moved her at 16 to his fucking place, though.
Along with the whole family.
Razor,
So did Mint some of those other cult leaders. Remember?
Actually, the album has a lot of songs about that. Right. About like being in love with someone who's too young and you can't do anything.
Forbidden
and,
love.
Songs about
my
it.
Forbidden love.
That was it. That's song? The hook. Yeah. Oh, that's
a lot hook. Like Endless Love.
Yeah.
But it was different. That was in the vault. That was in the vault.
Yeah, that is in the vault. Yeah. And one thing that I ran into, which I didn't know about, is apparently while he died, he was co-writing a memoir called The Beautiful Ones. There was already a deal signed. I think it was Simon & Schuster or something. So I'm still waiting for that to come out, because that sounds really fucking cool. But yeah, and the other thing that's weird is when you look at, like, I was reading one website of a bunch of people who were sharing their memories with Prince shortly after they died, and a bunch of them, oddly enough, said, yeah, the thing about Prince was you always knew when he walked into a room, because the room would suddenly be filled with the smell of lavender.
I like purple.
and again, things like that are what he spoofs in New Girl.
Flower petals on the ground?
Exactly. And it was like, no, they just knew.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I do that?
Exactly. Yeah. With his deep ass voice.
That might have been me.
Yeah.
Do you have lavender plants at home, Dave?
Whoops.
No, I don't.
I do.
Oh.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, right in the front.
How's your pancake game?
Well, they're purple too, right?
My pancake game is fucking on point.
Let's hear your pancake recipe. You have to do something special? I mean, I know when to flip them. I've got that shit down. My daughter made the fucking happy Mother's Day pancakes. Did I tell you guys about that?
No.
She fucked up and got a word backwards, but she went and got the squirt bottle thing and fucking put the batter in there and wrote shit and drew butterflies first try. It was fucking impressive, dude. She made like a fucking mural of pancakes. It was
That's
badass.
Hard to do.
Yeah.
It's hard to do.
What do you do? You do something special, though, like whip it or blend it or froth it up to aerate it to make them fluffier or add something?
Nah, not really. No? I like my pancakes.
Bisquick and...
No, I do decent. I'll make them from scratch.
Oh, yeah?
But, Bisquick sometimes. But, no, I like strawberry banana pancakes. Mm-hmm. No syrup or nothing.
Is waffle batter the same as pancake? No,
it's different.
And Belgian waffle batter is different.
Even different from that?
Yeah.
I know my friends, my buddy Adam and Jessica got a waffle iron, and they would fucking do cool shit with their waffle iron. Fucking like waffle they would put like strawberries and berries and shit inside that, and then make it that way. Or even things like sausage and bacon and fucking cheese inside the waffle mix, and then pour it and press it, and you'd have like breakfast. You know, all kinds of shit.
Yeah, I have a Belgian waffle maker. I love Belgian waffles.
What makes it Belgian?
I don't know. Thick, they're thick. They're big. They taste. They have a little bit of vanilla in them. Like they're good.
Waffles are good. I never would go for that though. I don't ever do pancakes. I don't generally do waffles. Like I'm always the savory, not the sweet.
Yeah, and see,
I'll have a bite of like my family member's pancake at the end. I'll be like, they didn't finish them because you never do. Like, all right, let me have one bite.
Yeah, and I don't smother mine in syrup. You know what I mean? Like, I put
butter, and that would be it.
Yeah, I build in the banana in the pancake or the waffle, and then I put strawberries on top.
Have you tried?
I don't put,
because I know sometimes like you've been talking about trying to like diet a little bit. Have you tried to make banana pancakes?
Mm-hmm.
There's no flour in it. Just banana and eggs.
Yeah, they're not the same.
It's not the same, but it's pretty impressive.
They're pretty good. Yeah, they're not. Like, they're not hard to eat.
Yeah, no, it's good. It's more like a crepe.
They're real
really,
flat.
Really
it's a crepe.
You can only make them so big.
Yeah.
But what I would do was make a taco, like breakfast tacos. With
them.
So you just it's like one banana to every two eggs, and you just blend that shit in the blender, and then pour it in like you're making pancakes. But you have to be smaller about them.
Yeah.
So you make them like I don't know, a little bigger than a coaster, maybe.
They're like,
so
like silver dollar pancakes.
Yeah, like street tacos. Like that's why I went ahead and just put like eggs and bacon and shit in there, and made tacos out of it. But they're really good.
Yeah, they are good.
Yeah.
So a banana flavored egg taco.
It doesn't really taste like bananas.
Yeah, it tastes more like French toasty or something weird. I don't know why.
It's not banana.
Banana out of it.
I think because the banana burns because it's so thin because you blend it.
Yeah. So. It just kind of, I wish there was a way to froth it up more though.
I did mashed banana pancakes too one time.
So it was chunky still?
Yeah, it was like a banana pancake.
Right.
But yeah, they're not the same.
The banana pancakes, I should because I've been trying to be good, but there are 15 grams of sugar in a banana.
So but it's good sugar though. It's fruit really sugars.
Yeah.
That's
bad sugar throws you out of ketosis though.
Well, ketosis. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So for my purposes at this point in my diet, I've been on for a week. I'm down like 6 pounds or something like it. It's coming that's off good. Right now. Yeah. This is funny. I had my wife fucking put the peanut butter. There's going to be sex jokes for sure. I said, go get the peanut butter and put that shit on the nightstand. Because I'll get busted. Like I'll be sneaking the peanut butter and she'll fucking say some shit to me. Cause I'm literally going to have to go like to her side of the bed and try to like get in her nightstand to get the peanut butter.
Yeah.
I was like, don't try to hide it. Cause I might go on a fucking wild goose chase and find it. Just put that shit in your nightstand. And then when I came home for fajita night or whatever with my sister-in-law, they made like fucking 3 batches of cookies. I don't know where those are at. I made them hide them. But because of that, I've been waking up and I just keep eating like a little bit of lunch meat or something wrapped around a pickle or something. I fucking pull that off in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
And because of it, I think that's what was happening. I was saying that thing where I couldn't keto anymore, but I'm pretty sure the peanut butter in the middle of the night,
that would do it.
It was enough to kick me out and it just wasn't happening. So and when that happens too, when you cheat, then it's like, oh, now you just ate a bunch of fucking fat. Is what you were eating. You were just eating meat and cheese and eggs and shit all day. Just like you're living on omelets and then you don't ever go into keto. You're living on omelets. Yeah. It's not
you're
good.
Eating fat. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
You have to keep in keto. So, but maybe later in the diet, I'll treat myself to the banana pancakes.
So then Prince died and I don't want to talk about it.
He died.
And actually when I first heard about the death, I was very shocked and disappointed about how he died. But then now that I think about it in retrospect, I think it's the best way for him to have died because he died from a drug overdose of fentanyl.
Right.
And
like every celebrity does. Yeah.
Exactly. And then I realized
should have been heroin or something.
But here's the thing. He didn't drink and he didn't normally do drugs. So as a rock star, the odds of him ODing as a rock star, which gives you like a rock star multiplier of times 5.
Yeah.
Like it wasn't going to happen.
Well, the person found him was there to counsel him for opiate addiction though.
Right.
So he did do something, but it could have been one of those things because of his hips, I guess.
That's what people
allegedly claim. He needed to have hip surgery and there was like some controversy about him refusing blood transfusions.
Yeah. Man, but shit. I read that wasn't the case.
It sounds like you don't even need blood transfusions unless if it's emergency.
Yeah, right.
So he did apparently have the hip procedure. So that might've sucked. I mean, dude was 5'3" trying to look like he's fucking 6 foot tall with,
but that's the thing.
And
like
dancing,
you watch his
splits.
Early videos, like he'll jump off a 4 foot speaker in heels and just land with fucking grace
and do the and he'll do those fucking slide past the mic stand, tip it over. It comes back up as he's fucking like flipping back around to grab it. Just in
and
time.
He's doing the anti splits, pushing himself back up to
impressive.
His. It's just unbelievable.
And just because he does it easily doesn't mean that
it didn't take
him.
Fucking toll.
I'm sure he was taking pain medication.
Not to mention
he's 57.
Endless,
Yeah. Which in normal life, you're going to start aching and hurting. I'm fucking 40 and my fucking knee some days feels like it's going to fall off.
I'm 28.
Yeah, and he wasn't doing all that. I'll be honest, you look like shit for 28. You got to lie. You got to say I'm 65. I'm like, damn, you look good for 65.
You look
65.
Good for 65.
Nah, you look like shit for 28.
Yeah. Look good. Shut your mouth.
But
I feel like shit for 28.
He probably innocently fell into the opiate addiction. Sure. Started taking Vicodin and turned into whatever. Yep. And someone was actually, that was his appointment. The guy had showed up, I guess, to talk to him about opiate addiction.
Well, he didn't do a fucking good job, did he?
No.
Found him in the elevator.
Fucking
allegedly. It seems weird. It was like a day before his appointment or something, though. I didn't really see controversy other than what I was reading into it. But I was like, that's weird. They called that guy and then he dies. You know what I mean? So it must have just escalated.
Well, the thing is, though, I think it was escalating because a couple of days before he died, he had canceled some shows and
people had called on his behalf for the opiate intervention to like try to get a hold of him.
I think he was on some kind of a weird bender on the opioids.
Yeah, and like they still don't know what happened for sure. They had there's like a sealed fucking warrant into the autopsy or into the medical examiner, and there's also a sealed warrant having to do with a local Walgreens. I was like, that's kind of funny. Yeah. Even when you're a prince, you get your shit at Walgreens.
That's the pharmacy down the street from the mansion.
Yeah, you got to pump it out.
The purple limo is in the drive-thru at 2 in the morning with him in the back.
Yeah.
He's like, give me some sour straws, too.
Dr. Sanji.
So, yeah, my recommendation is go back, listen to some Prince. Watch some old Prince
videos. I want to know who gave him CPR after he was dead for 6 hours in the elevator.
Yeah.
Because they were like, rough. Oh, yeah, he's not. They tried to revive him.
Yeah, they did.
Dave would have done it.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah, I would have.
At 6 hours? No.
Yeah, no, they'd have had
your prince wouldn't have come back, Dave.
They'd have had to peel me off. Yeah. That's true.
It wouldn't have been your prince.
It wouldn't have been my prince. It would have been the Black Album prince.
He would have just been normal. His brain damage. He was just okay at guitar.
He's like, he wakes up. What happened?
He lived a great life, but he never made another album.
It's like, no, he just turns into ghetto prince. Yeah. Like, what happened?
He comes out mumble rapping.
Yeah.
Dave, what did you do? Yeah. You should have let him die.
Yeah.
Peanut butter cookie chunks.
He's a mumble rapper now.
It's a really bad
when he
Stephen
dies,
King
though,
album.
700 people came forward claiming to be his sibling or in relation of some sort.
Because he had no will.
Yeah, to try to claim his estate. Yeah.
But the fact of the matter is, one living blood relative who was his sister from his mom and dad named Tika, who is now the manager of his estate. And then a ton of half-brothers.
Five half-siblings,
Half-brothers and half-sisters, but apparently they aren't sure. Right. They don't get a say in the matter.
And then his ashes were put in a 3D printed urn. I was like, damn, how high tech of you, Prince. Yeah. I mean, he probably didn't pick that. I want to know what it is. Apparently, it was on display somewhere. You could look it up. It has to be the symbol or something.
Yeah, it's
got to
be. Yeah. Now I have to know. I'll look it up while you're the sponsors.
Is that all we got on him? Yeah. Yep. You're all done. I know you didn't want to talk about that anymore.
Yeah.
So, Ellie, you could take a hot sauce.
Hey, Dave, look up his urn.
It is our primary sponsor. You can find them at every major grocery store for the most part. If you don't find it, try a little harder. It's at the next store. Also, if you're having trouble finding it, you can go to finditelyucateco.com and use that. And it works on mobile or regular laptop devices and such, other computers. If you don't see it listed, you can add that location. You can submit a location and put it in there, and it will get added to the database. So go check out findelyucateco.com. That's the unofficial powered by the people El Yucateco Finder. They're not officially associated with that, but it's cool that it exists because so many people were having trouble finding it. It's there now. Also, thank you to Print Dirt Cheap. You can go to printdirtcheap.com and use code SOFAKING to observe a savings on your purchase. If you need to buy stickers for your podcast or any type of printed good like a banner, they have all kinds of shit on there. Get on their website and check it out. Thank you to DeLeon Graphics, who does our silkscreen and shirts. Those are available on SOFAKINGpodcast.com/shop. You can also check out mugs made by Digital Creations. And so we have coffee mugs, a couple different designs that are on our website, also at sofakingpodcast.com/shop. And last but not least, thank you to Dan Camarillo Jiu-Jitsu. You can log into armhunter.com for instructional DVDs and apparel. And if you're local, you can go train there. They got quite a good program. It's a packed fucking house. Like, he posts on Instagram and shit, and there's a lot of dudes in there now.
Yeah.
It's a real sausage fest.
We made him famous.
It's hot, yeah.
So his urn is a replica of Paisley Park Studio with his symbol on front of it.
The whole studio, like a Barbie house? That's weird.
It's but on display there.
The inside of it, and his ashes are in this front facade, but on the inside of it, which is permanently sealed, is a miniature replica of his grand atrium with his signature purple Yamaha piano, white ornamental doves, and decorative tile floor with real working lights.
That is ridiculous. That's Yamaha is such a weird company, man. Like, Yamaha makes forklifts and motorcycles pianos. And pianos. Yes. That's a fucking
all those generators.
All those Japanese all companies do that. Mitsubishi makes all kinds of crazy
anything
shit.
With motors. Yeah. They make all kinds of stuff.
Also, that Potter and Love event is happening August 11th or 10th, 11th, and 12th, 2018 in New Orleans. You can go to pottern.love on them internets. Also on Instagram, they're at potternlovecon. Go follow them and like them and check them out. There's a bunch of crazy new posts on there. I hadn't seen that. I don't know what's going on there.
Also, check us out on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at SofaKingPodcast. Our personal Instagram accounts at SofaKingBrad, SofaKingBrent, and SofaKingDave. Check out the Captain_SK quotes for quotes from the show, visualized and put into context, out of context, mm-hmm. not in context, no. very much out of context.
Yep.
And also check out Hilgenfeld on Instagram. And also go to the unofficial SK Ultra group. Search for that on Facebook if you're not a part of that. Answer the questions when trying to get in. Or else you won't get in. You won't get in.
You won't get in.
Go to patreon.com/SofaKingPodcast if you're willing to donate any monies to the show. Keep us going. Keep us eating that top ramen.
Yep.
The Marshawn.
I can't have it right now. I throw the noodles away and drink the broth. It's a lot of sodium, but it's delicious and it's
good.
It helps. Yeah. I'm back on bubbly water too. I quit that shit for
bubbly.
A while. I have started it again. Yeah,
bubbly.
I don't know.
Man, the best one I found, the bubbly.
I haven't
bubbly
tried
water
from the
Pepsi.
Bubbly. Yeah.
Bubbly.
Yes. It's good. But you got to go to Target bubbly. To get it, yeah?
No.
No? Regular grocery store?
Yeah, they got it. Yep.
Smart Mono doesn't have it, so it's nowhere. No. It's nowhere then.
Yeah, it's pretty good. That's probably the best I've had.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
I think.
Several flavors.
Yep.
Yeah. I'm lazy. Pepsi. I should go get better.
They got everything.
Yeah, I should go get some better one.
Yep.
I'll try it.
All right. End song is Vice City by Annette James. Don't be a retard.
Ain't no heart like yours, ain't no dry like mine. Dry like I'm Dale Earnhardt, but times five. In a crowd quiet like the one I rock right now. Nah, 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 nah. Shout fuck everywhere I go. Back when I was younger with a yo-yo. Oh, so snotty, no, still miss the old fro. Still miss the old crew, girls in a go-go. 56, drink street lights, me and Popo. That man drive 50, don't say the fuck on, friends of foe. Fuck you, give me foe. Just poor jock looking with women who got a motor. They strip, drink, Henny is cool, invite them over. I'm flawed, fuck you, got them all jumping. Got them all in here like they on something. What's your vice, damn it, we in Vice City. What's your vice, damn it, we in Vice City. Get your vice when you up in Vice City. What's your vice? When you up in Vice City, what's your vice? Damn it, we in Vice City. Like, aye, 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 aye. Let me hear your life. Let me hear your life. Let me hear your life. But a beer still a nigga in a coupe. But a Porsche still a nigga in it too. But of course I'ma think that these luxury things that I caught my eye, my truth. My Jello belt jackets, I've been a hood classic. I've been a rude bastard, but a money feel mad. This is magic, fuck banks, boy, I got a shoebox. My pops told me stick and move, but now I move with two Glocks. A middle finger never folded, attack a Motorola. A girl about to ask for me, my men and all my soldiers. Vice City Devil's playground, ain't got no time to play now. Cause every nigga's gonna be a starter, pepper caterpillar. Like, let me hear your life. Let me hear your life.